What in the world is God doing? God is revealing his reality. God is restoring broken lives. God is giving hope to the hopeless.
One touch, ordinary people become firebrands.
Tim Hall is a dynamic communicator whose emphasis on the miraculous, signs and wonders has had dramatic impact on the body of Christ in Australia and internationally.
And I'm going to run from city to city, from town to town, from nation to nation, in the end time, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
His forthright and anointed preaching, coupled with a great manifestation of power, has seen thousands saved, healed, dramatically changed, and filled with God's mighty fire.
Everywhere I go, starting fires for the glory of God, moving in the end time, fire and anointing of the Holy Ghost.
This teaching series will challenge and motivate you to a whole new dimension of God's power and give you keys to move in the Holy Ghost and fire in a brand new way.
There has never been a day like this day. Never, ever been a day like this day. I'd like you to stand for a moment. And ask God that in this short while, I'm trying not to preach too long, I want to ask that God do something in our heart absolutely revolutionary. I'd like you to close your eyes with me. Just lift the hand of God. And Father, today, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for an awesome release in your word. I pray, Father, that you would touch us right down deep in our spirit. I pray, Lord, that your word would anchor in a fresh way, in a dynamic way, in a supernatural way. And Lord, I pray that something would happen today, Lord, of a revolutionary nature. And Lord, I pray that this time would be a time of covenant, a setting of covenant. And I pray that as a result of today, businesses all over this building will be blessed and multiplied. Families will be blessed and go into a place where financially they will begin to live in great success. I pray, Lord, that every person here will grasp the word and, Lord, that there would be a release of finance into the church greater than ever before. And this generous church, I pray, Lord, that there would be a release of finance greater than ever before that would touch the nations and scatter to the ends of the earth, bringing impact and blessing. So, Father, I come seriously in. Humbly and ask you, Lord, for God, every word that I share now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said? Let's take our seats. I felt for some time that God wanted me to speak on the subject here at church. Pastor Andrew spoke to me and he said, would you consider preaching on giving? And it was a real witness to my heart that that's what I was to do. It's hard to preach on giving in a church that is such a generous church. We did the youth camp just recently. Jackie and I went up to the youth camp and preached up there with Russ. And the offering that we got was just absolutely awesome. To be honest, it was the greatest offering I'd ever received on a youth camp. It was just inspirational. We went home so blessed. And Russell, for weeks before, said, I'm believing God that God is just going to bless you. And then during the week, we were believing God for the furniture for our new offices. And didn't know how it was going to come in, didn't have a clue. We've got our offices, God has supplied beautiful offices. If you want to visit us, we're down on Main North Road, top of Pittman's. We've been very blessed by Brother John Pittman and the Pittman brothers. They've given it to us at a very, very reasonable rate. And the beautiful thing is the businessman's come in and said, I'm going to supply the rate. So we're actually blessed with God to be living there or moved in there. But we didn't have the furniture money, and we had an anonymous check brought to us at midnight a couple of Sundays ago. We were saying, God, how do we furnish it? And there was an anonymous check from someone in the church here for $6,000 that came out of the blue. And so we've been on the end of some absolute blessing, both from the youth, and I want to thank you, Russ, for the kindness there. We've been financed overseas numbers of times by the church and helped and blessed. And so it's difficult to share with a church that is such a generous church. But I believe that God is doing something supernatural in our lives right now I believe that two things are happening in the heavenlies. I've been wondering, in the last 3 years, God has touched Jackie and I in this new wave of the Spirit of God that is sweeping. And the Lord said to me, there's two things that I'm doing, two profound things that I'm doing in the body of Christ right now. I'm releasing my glory and causing people to become intensely aware of my glory and my presence. I'm teaching people to live and abide and flow in the supernatural of my glory. I felt him say to me, and secondly, I'm teaching the church to be released into an outpouring of finance in and out, into the body of Christ and out to touch the multitudes. We're talking of an end time move of God and a great manifestation of God across the nations. And I want to tell you the greatest thing that hinders, I believe, the move of God in our cities, in our churches, and across the nation is the limitation of finance. How many believe that? This church's mission giving is huge. You know, really, what is happening in Australian missions is exciting, but if there was a release of finance all over the nation that multiplied and multiplied, we'd begin to touch the world at a far greater scale. I want to look this morning and at some scripture. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis. And I just want to work through a number of scriptures this morning and share some stories with you. We've just been in a little crusade running in on the other side of town and helping a church over there to get really established and moving. It's been a blessed time. A lady on Friday night got up and testified that all the cancer has gone out of her lymphatic system, and she's been taken off chemotherapy, and the doctors have declared she's healed. A lady hit the ground under the power of God, first time ever in a Pentecostal meeting, went down under the power of God, shook like a leaf, her legs were just shaking violently. And afterwards, Pastor George went over and said, welcome to the church, and she was lying on the floor. She said, I can't hear, my hearing aid's ringing. And she said, I'll just take it out. And she took it out, and he was talking to her, and she said, you're not going to believe this. I'm hearing out of this ear. It's been deaf for 24 years. So good things have been happening. And we've been excited. We want to see that little church become a strong church. We're trying to just get alongside and ride with them to see it established. They were financially in a lot of trouble. They were looking at pulling out of the building they were in and going back to a little church, a little Methodist church up the road. And the pastor was thousands behind in back pay. And in the 3 weeks, their giving has increased 600%. The pastor's got all his back pay. We've got an account now for the Ukraine to send him over there. And we've been blessed, and they've been blessed. And there's just been a release of finance. God did something in my heart a few years ago in the United States of America. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I hadn't been a big giver. I'd tried to tithe, but I hadn't really... I'd given, but I hadn't had a real revolution in that area. And God wanted to do something, and I had 300 US in my pocket. We were there for a fortnight in the USA, and then I had another week down in South America, and I had $300, which is not a lot of money when you've got two children with you and hotels and motels. We had no finance coming in back at home at that point. It was a hard time. And I sat in the meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Billy Joe Doherty got up, and he preached a sermon on a subject that had been very strongly on my heart. Something that God had spoken to me concerning my future and concerning Jackie and a number of things. And he preached it. And then they took an offering in that meeting to buy a center there for their church. And I felt the Lord say to me, Tim, I want you to give heavily this morning. I said, God, if I give heavily, I'm in big trouble here. I'm in America. If I give heavily, I've got nothing. The Lord said, I want you to put this much in. I said, you mean that much? And the Lord said, put it in. I said, God, if I put that in, I'm totally dependent. There's nothing coming in from home. I'm totally dependent on you. My Lord said, put it in. Take it in your hand and put it in. I took it out of my wallet and put it in my hand. I thought, this is desperation. This is hit or miss. This is sink or swim. And I took the money and lifted it up. And as I lifted it up, I started to say, God, I'm sowing it to you. And I put it in the offering. As the offering bin came around, I put it in. The power of God hit me. I shook like a leaf, trembled all over and shook. And God said, you've just sown a miracle. I went home that night to the motel, and I was wondering what I was going to do, and I rang Australia to a friend that was dealing in art and handling artwork for me. He said, you're not going to believe this, but he said, 3 hours ago, we just sold $4,000 worth of paintings. And over the past few years, we've begun to sow very seriously, more and more and more, and to tithe, to double tithe, to We aimed at just probably triple five now, and we just so and so. And we look back on the last 12 months, and I said to Jackie the other day, we sat down and we talked. I said, Jackie, do you know what we've been able to release into the third world in the last 12 months? She said, no. I said, just around $50,000 into the third world in the past year. And I want God to trust me with finance. I want God to trust me with finance in a big way. I don't necessarily think, well, I don't want to be rich and, you know, soaking and gathering great wads of money. I want to be a pipeline through whom God can move to the nations, because the Bible promises that through us, every nation on the earth is going to be blessed. Through us and our seed, every family on planet earth is going to be blessed. I want to bless families financially, release ministries, and finance major events all over the earth. How many people would like to do that? Let me look at some scripture for a moment. I'd like you to go back into the book of Genesis and chapter 8. Genesis 8 verse 22. I'm going to move speedily. The Bible says in Genesis 8, 22, book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. It's the book of foundations. And right back here, God is laying laws that can't be changed. He's laying things down that are foundation principles upon which other things build. In verse 22, it says this, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. God says there's certain things that are going to remain. As long as the earth remains, these principles will be there. These things will be there. There will be cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. But he said, firstly, the first thing he says before the others is that there will be the principle of seed time and harvest. And I want to tell you, life is built around sowing and reaping. God has ordained it. It seems the earth operates on the principle of sowing and reaping, not just with farmers, but in every area of life. What we sow, we reap. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. These are scriptures we're all familiar with, but let's have a look there in the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 9, which is a powerful, powerful passage of scripture. That deals, if you go through it, it deals with finance. It's all about finance and release of finance. I'd like you to look with me, please, to the chapter 9, verse 6. Paul writing says this, but I say this, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. God says this is the principle. It says the same in Galatians 6. As you sow, you reap. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. It's the same in every principle of life. If you build the positive into your children, something positive is going to come. I look at Ashley and Russell up here. I've been with Russ overseas, watched him minister. He is powerful, moves powerfully, has a tremendous gift, and who knows how far he's going to go in God. And I see Ashley stand up this morning with authority and the power of God all over him, with a destiny that's an awesome destiny. Why are they doing what they're doing? Why is it happening? I'll tell you why. For years, Mrs. Evans sowed the word of God diligently. Pastor Andrew set such a fantastic example of what they can be and spoke life into them and showed them and seeded into them what they could be, what they could do in God. And Mrs. Evans has taught. I know she's taught those boys the word of God so diligently, so diligently. She's sown and sown and sown seed into them, and where they stand today is the result of parents that have sown into their kids. We have a responsibility to sow into our children, to sow good, to sow an example, to sow an inspiration. I think the greatest thing on earth that we can be to our children is an example of someone that they can aim to be like. I say to my son David, I don't embarrass him too much. He's somewhere around here in his Pentaldi tie this morning, running around the place. But I've just watched David growing. And I used to say to him all the time, we went through some very difficult times in the past years. But I've said to him so many times, I've said, David, you're going to grow up to be the sort of man that other men would want to be like. You're going to grow up to have something that other men would want to have. And I prayed over him, God, Make him a man that carries the power of God and does something for God. And I've tried to speak into his life that he is something, that he's going to do something, and he's already got a vision. He says, Dad, I don't want to do what you do. I don't want to go all over the place I want to build a big church. I want to be like Pastor Andrew. I want to be like some of the preachers of big churches. He said, I want to have a big church. I want to have great music. This is the sort of music I want. And I've been trying to sow seeds into my son, into my little girl. Sow seeds in them. Eldest daughter, too. I want to sow the positive in there as I can. Life is seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. And God says the law will never change as long as the earth remains. The Bible speaks here, it says in verse 7, let every man give, or every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful or a hilarious giver. Let every person give and sow financially, materially. If the only thing you've got in the world to sow is a smile, sow that. The only thing you've got in the world to sow is a positive word of encouragement for someone. Sow that. Keep sowing that, and you'll reap a mighty harvest. God says, let every person give as they purpose in their heart. I want to tell you, giving is a calculated thing. Giving is not just something we tack on. Giving is a decision. Giving is something that we plan. I believe it's as powerful as the worship we give during praise time. Even more so. I think our giving is far more potent than we ever understand. You know, the giving, as we give, we are giving of ourselves. As we worship God, we can worship God, but not really give Him our whole heart. We can worship God and make a lot of noise and wave our hands, but not really give our whole heart. But when we give, we really are giving ourselves. When you work all week, I don't know what you do for a living. You may be driving a taxi. You might be a politician. You might be a school teacher. You might be digging trenches. I don't know. You might be whatever you do. It might be a preacher. But whatever you do, you're sowing all week. You're giving all week. The finance you get at the end of the week is your payment for your effort, your sweat, your tears, your pain, your anxiety, your dreams, your goals. The finance that comes in is the expression of who you are. It's you transferred into paper, plastic or whatever. And so when we give and when we sow to God, we are actually giving our own self. It is a form of worship. It is a giving of our own being. The Bible says that giving is purposeful and calculated. The Bible says that everyone give as he purposes, let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Go back to Genesis with me just for a moment. Sorry, Exodus. I'm going to move really quickly because I've got some things to share here. They were building the temple back here, or the tabernacle in Exodus 35. And Moses gathered the congregation and he said, listen, I want you to do this. I want you to bring these things in, blue and purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, everything. Bring it in. And the Bible says here in verse 5, Exodus 35, verse 5, God said to Moses, take you from among you an offering to the people. Take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord. In verse 21 it says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit had made willing. Giving becomes a supernatural thing. Let me tell you, giving becomes a supernatural thing. I've found in my life now, and in Jackie and I, giving has become a supernatural aspect of our life that's as profound and powerful as releasing the manifestation of God, as preaching, as ministry. Giving, to me, is as exciting as preaching the word. Nearly. But it's in there because I think they sort of go together. The Bible says here that God had made these people willing. He stirred their heart. My prayer is that our hearts get stirred to give like never before. The Bible says God loves a hilarious giver. What's a hilarious giver? A hilarious giver is an abandoned giver. One who doesn't give a little. It's someone who's stirred to give. They live to give. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a purpose. God, I want to give into missions. God, I want to give into the nation. God, I want to give into the church. I want to give into Christians' lives. It's something profound and powerful that God does. That God stirs people to want to give. I remember going through very difficult times some years ago, and the Lord spoke to me and said, Tim, I'll tell you how I'm going to bring you through. And I didn't know. I didn't know if I could get through. I saw a light at the end of the tunnel, but I had a feeling it was another train. I didn't know how to get through. But God said to me clearly, clearly, He said, these are the two things I want you to do, and I'll bring you right through, and I'll establish you and set you again. He said, I want you to have a great attitude. I want you to have a great attitude to people. I'd had a bit of a bad mouth. I was hurt, and I was letting the hurt run out of my mouth. And God said, I want you to have a good attitude. Just destroy yourself with your mouth. Great revelations ahead. It's time to shut up. Go to speak, bite your tongue off. Bite it. You can't claim it. I said, I want you to have a great attitude, and I want you to be a big giver. I want you to give supernaturally. I'll teach you how to give. Then God said to me, He said, I want you to give your best. I want you to give second best. I want you to give of your best. That's what the Bible makes it clear. God, right through the scriptures, said, bring your first fruits. The Bible speaks of first fruits. Not giving at the end, but giving in advance. So I want you to have a look with me to Proverbs. We're just jumping around here. This is a bit of a Bible study, really, a bit of a Bible teaching. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs the third chapter, verse 9 and 10 says this. I felt the Lord speaking to me again clearly out of this particular passage of Scripture. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. For the people of Israel, as the 10 sheep ran through under the stick, the first one belonged to God. The first one belonged to God. The 10 potatoes plucked out of the ground, the first one belonged to God. Of the first 10 cows that come running down through the gate, the first one belonged to God. They give the 10th to God. In fact, they were taught to tithe more than a tenth. They actually tithe around about 25 to 30% of all their income. And how many know that God's not a legalist? But he does say the tenth is mine. Well, I'll have a look at that in a sec. Proverbs 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So, and then he says, and then you see, or so shall your barns be filled with plenty. That's financial prosperity. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's what God spoke to me. He said, Tim, as you give seriously of your first fruits, there'll be two things will happen. I will prosper you and bless you, but I'll pour out the new wine on you so that it runs over and runs over on the people all around you. I say this carefully, but I believe that in the manifestation of the anointing of God, somehow finance gets released. When there's the glory in the manifestation of God, finance gets released. I can't explain it. They seem to run together. I don't understand it, but I've found that the more we've been flowing in this move of the Spirit. And moving into the area of giving, the more we've seen God pour out His Spirit, pour out His Spirit. Financially, pour out wealth and blessing. I'm just standing back in amazement. Amazement. Just early this week, I gave some paintings away. I thought the Lord said, give these away. So I gave four paintings away. Someone came to me Wednesday and bought, I think I sold 7 paintings in a day and a half. Out of the blue. Just out of the blue. God says, you give your best. You give of your first fruits and your best. And He said, your barns will be filled with plenty and your presses will overflow with the new wine. Now, I want to go back to Genesis for a moment. We're really jumping around a fair bit, but if you can follow this and maybe go back over these scriptures in your own time and have a good look. Genesis chapter 3, we have the story of Cain and Abel. How many have read the story of Cain and Abel? Chapter 4, sorry, Genesis 4, the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel both brought an offering to the Lord. Now, I've heard all sorts of preaching as to why Cain's was rejected and Abel's was accepted. And I've
preached over the years, the reason why Abel's offering was accepted was because it was a lamb and there was bloodshed, and the grain offering of Cain was unacceptable because there was no blood. And that all sounds very spiritual, but I don't think God is like that. If you're a farmer and you grow wheat, God's not going to get mad at you because you don't bring a sheep in. It's the manner of giving that upset the Lord here, that caused problems as well following. It was the manner of the giving. The Bible says here, that verse 2, it says that Eve bare a brother Abel, verse 2, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now here's giving described to us right back there in Genesis 4. First offerings. Cain comes, and the Bible says he came in the process of time. Eventually, and when he was good and ready, he came. In the process of time, when he was ready, he brought his offering. But the Bible says of Abel, he brought the firstlings of his flock. What was the difference in the offering? One was an afterthought in the process of time when he was good and ready, and the other was a man committed to God whose first giving was to God. Changes in his time. Abel was sharp and his giving was worship. Something happened. See, this is first fruits. When our giving means something to God, when it's God, I'm going to give to you first. God says, I like that. He says, you have that attitude, you watch him barn first. Very interesting thing. Very, very interesting thing. J. Oswald Smith, during the Depression, opened up his church to give handouts to people that were in trouble. And he had thousands and thousands of people come through. Every one of them was interviewed, and during the entire time of the Depression, of all the people that he handed out to, not one of them was a regular tither. Not one was committed to tithing. They were all non-tithers to the letter. Giving's a very spiritual thing, very powerful thing. I'd like you to jump with me over to the book of Malachi. Page 1173. God says this in the book of Malachi. Now, a lot of people say, you're talking Old Testament. Well, we started in 2 Corinthians 9, Genesis 8. But the Bible says here in Malachi and chapter 3, verse 6, God says, look, this goes beyond New or Old Testament. This is just me talking. The times when the first tithe was given in Scripture, it was given to by Abraham to Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, without genealogy, without parents, absolutely a type of Christ, if not Christ. And that was before the Mosaic Law was ever instituted. It was given back under Abraham. And I want to tell you where the seed of Abraham. Tithing was instituted before the law. And here, God says to Malachi, he says, I'm God and I change not. He says, therefore your sons are not consumed. He says, I'm unchanging. And then he begins to ask questions. He says, even from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and you have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we rob you? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. Therefore, you are cursed with a curse. I've found that if I don't tithe, I pay some other way. A car engine will blow up. A wheel will fall off in the main street. I tell you, if you speed down the road, you get every red light. I know. I know. I was racing to church the other night. Blink. If you go over the speed limit, you get the green lights. I found that too. I'm just trying to work out how to do it. Fine. I tell you, if you tithe, you get the green lights. Figuratively speaking, metaphorically. All right. Let's have a look at this. He says, you curse with curse, for you've robbed me. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. It says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? Here. is a storehouse where you get fed, your home church. We tie that of our ministry to missions, whatever comes into the overall thing, we tie it to missions, and we support about 8 missionaries or 9. But everything that Jackie and I take personally, our family, we sow into here. It belongs here. God spoke to me very clearly. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. This is the storehouse. Let's have a look here. Let's go on. He says, that there may be meat in my house in order that my house might survive. My house will run. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That sounds right, doesn't it? And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground or your business, neither shall your vine cast their fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord, and all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land. Now, let's look at this really quickly. Israel is backslidden. God's just come back. They said, how do we come back? He says, this is the way you come back. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. If you want to come back, show me by your giving. Show me by your giving. I believe a great way to come back in a real way to God. We cannot work our way back to God. We just receive. But for our heart to really come back, God begins to touch us and say, hey, I want to talk to you about your giving. Then it goes on here and says, he says, you say, how have we robbed you? He says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, the word rob is a most interesting word. The word rob has a double meaning. One of the meanings is to spoil, to rob, steal, or spoil. And it has a sense of destruction with the robbery. It's not petty larceny or burglary, which are misdemeanors, but it's robbery with violence. It's a robbery that affects and hurts. It's a robbery that damages. He says, when you rob me, you actually damage my body and damage the impact that I can make on the planet. You damage what I'm able to do. You put the church at danger. You put the spread of the kingdom of God at danger. The other meaning for rob is korbah, which means cover. To put a covering. And it really means this is a two-way meaning that the Holy Spirit has given. Will a man put a covering or an obstruction over God? So he says, if you rob me, you put an obstruction over my blessing to yourself. You put a covering that will stop the blessings of heaven. God says, I want to pour them out. But by holding back tithes and offerings, you put a covering over me so that I cannot pour out on you a blessing that you cannot receive. And I want to tell you, the heart of God today is that you and I would receive a blessing that would be beyond anything that we were able to receive. I tell you, God, and you might say, well, I'm not into this prosperity stuff, but I tell you, the Bible speaks again and again about us being blessed. You say, do you give to receive? No, I give because my heart is stirred to give. But God says, if you do, this is what I'll do. You say, you're trying to force God's hand? Not at all. I have a covenant and a contract with God. I'm in a covenant relationship with God in this area. God says, put me to the test. The only time in the Bible I've read of God, I think the only time, Pastor Andrew, where God says, put me to the test. Put me to this test. He says, bring the whole tithe and offerings into my storehouse, and then see, put me to this test, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive it. Now that's God's challenge. And that's the challenge. I want to tell you, I've made a covenant with God in the area of giving. Jackie and I have made a covenant with God. It's a covenant that's as binding as any covenant you could make. God says, put me to the test. He said, number one, I'll pour a blessing out on you you can't contain. But he said, with that blessing, there'll be protection that you can't describe. He says, because I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. You won't even have to rebuke him. You do this, I'll rebuke him. I'll rebuke him off your business. I'll rebuke him off your finance. I'll rebuke him off your home. Well, we still have to rebuke him from time to time. Obviously we do. But he says, do this, and he says, you watch me rebuke. Let's have a look at this for a couple of minutes. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He will not destroy your business. I don't care if every business in your street's going broke, yours will be blessed. If every farm around your dairy farm has mad cow, crazy pig, stupid chook disease, your farm will be sane. You will have sane animals. How many farmers here today? Sane animals. Blessed animals. Amen. The Bible says your vine will not cast her fruit before the time in the field. There'll be no miscarrying of your business. It's not going to fall apart. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be delightful. Let me tell you a story. Let me would like to hear a story. I'm nearly finished, actually, Pastor Andy. For another 5 minutes, I'm quitting. Just about over. Well, let's just say the large lady's got the music out. Just about to sing. She's just gargling. Just gargling. Music's out. So I better move quickly before she starts, otherwise we're all in trouble. At the age of 14 years, a man called Alexander H. Kerr was converted under the ministry of D.L. Moody. 1902, he met a book. Read a book called Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright by Bishop Allen. And he talked about the blessing on the patriarchs. And he began to read in Genesis 28, verse 22. You can look it up in your own time. Jacob made a vow. I tell you, in giving, it's good to make a covenant vow. He made a covenant vow. And he said this, of all that I give you, God. Goodness, that voice. Was that me or was that lady? Here, a big lady. Of all that I give you, I will surely give one-tenth to you. That was his covenant. And he read that after 20 years, Jacob came back one of the richest men and the most blessed men in the East. And so, on June the 1st, 1902, he made the same covenant. He said, God, I make a covenant with you that from this point, I will tithe everything that comes in and I'll give. I'll give, but I make a covenant vow with you. I make a two-way vow, and I put you to this. I take Malachi, and God, I make a covenant related to Malachi chapter 3. In 1902, he was in a financial bind. He had obligations, difficulties in finance. He was really in some trouble, but by the end of that year, he began to tithe everything that came in, and more. By the end of the year, he had started a glass manufacturer, making jars. Glass jars. And within the space of a few years, he was one of the biggest firms in America, selling glass jars. And the finance was coming in, and he was blessed, and he invested everything into his business in San Francisco, and it got bigger and bigger, and he had this great factory in San Francisco. Everything in his life was invested in that business. But then there came an earthquake in San Francisco, and the earthquake ripped the place to pieces, and with it went fires. And through the area, the industrial area where he was, incredible fires raged and burnt everything to the ground right through that area of San Francisco. Burnt it flat. It was just a blaze, a wall of fire that swept that district to the ground. Friends came to him and they commiserated and they said, Kerr, you're a ruined man. You're a ruined man. You know, we're concerned for you. You're a ruined man. A wire came from San Francisco and the wire said, your factory is in the heart of the fire and is undoubtedly destroyed. The heat is so intense that we will be unable to find out anything for days. But he turned to them and he said, no, I have a covenant with God. I have made a covenant with God. And the covenant is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He said, God and I are in covenant, a giving covenant. I have a covenant with him. A week after the earthquake, they were able to get in there. Everything for a mile and a half on every side of his factory was burnt. But the factory stood, the only building in the district, not even the fence burnt. He got on a train and he came down. His building was a two-story wooden building. It had huge tanks where the glass was melted that were kept at a temperature of 2,500 degrees. The place was full of glass. Massive oil deposits, huge containers of oil, made the building probably the most flammable building in San Francisco. And if you have an earthquake in a glass factory, you can expect damage. He went into his building, walked in, nothing burnt. Not one glass jar cracked. Not one cracked jar. So he got a bit excited and began to write some leaflets. And he put one out called God's Cure for Poverty. And every case of fruit jars that went out had one in it. By the time of his death, they'd sent out 5 million and represented 5 million crates of jars. Finance went all over the earth. They had so much money coming in, they started a huge tithing account from all of his businesses, which just multiplied. They had this big tithing account, and they were sending millions of dollars all over the world for the glory of God. You read the story of Letourneau, mover of men and mountains. He began to tithe, and he finished up tithing at 90%. At 90% of his income, and he was still a millionaire, multi-millionaire. I believe that God is talking to his church about the awesome power of giving. The awesome power of giving. It is, for Jackie and I, it's an adventure now. An absolute adventure. Never been a more exciting day. Our goals and plans in God are going to cost great amounts of money to fulfill. And God's saying, I want you to sow now and get a harvest ready so that I can bring multi-millions of dollars through to achieve the things across the nations that you want to do. And so I've made a covenant. And I wonder today if you entered a covenant with God in the area of giving. You might say you're trying to get money off the church or whatever. Not at all. I believe that God is wanting his church to live in covenant blessing financially. And that we should be, Christians should be the most blessed people on earth. And the world are going to look to us and they're going to call us a delightsome nation. Delightsome people. And we're going to bless the whole earth. I'd like us to bow in prayer just for a couple of moments. I preached long enough, I think. Pastor Andrew, is that okay? Okay. I just want to get everybody now this morning. We've got five problems. Everybody in the building right now. You'd say, God, I want to be a giver like never before. My heart has been stirred. And I want to make a covenant with you from this day, a supernatural covenant in the area of giving, to give like never before in my life. It's going to be an adventure, Lord, but I want to make a covenant, a Malachi 3:11 covenant. I want every person this morning just, and I'm doing this off my own bat here, but I want every person this morning to say, God, I want to be in covenant with you in this area. I'd just like you to, we'll just keep our heads bowed for a moment. Now, I don't need anyone to look around, but I'm just asking you this morning. You say, God, that's me. Maybe you haven't been a big giver and you've been struggling. Maybe God's been challenging you for a few months about giving. I can't believe this youth group here. I cannot believe the financial blessing that this youth group is bringing in. Every week, young kids, I can't believe it. I'm sure the church is the same. I believe God's challenging all of us and stretching us in that area. Just like you to lift your hand. Maybe you've already got a covenant with God in that area. Maybe you want to come in a covenant. Just give me a little wave, quick little wave. Just get a little wave. Put your hand down. God bless you. We're going to take the offering this morning. Take the morning offering. I want you to give a great offering this morning. To reach out, believe God, maybe step a little over in God this morning. You're going to believe for supernatural, powerful supernatural offering this morning. If you just ask God, we'll ask the Lord what we should give, and then I'm going to hand over to Ashley. Can we stand together? And as you stand, say, Jesus, I want to give this morning. I really feel like giving. And I tell, I'm scared to carry too much money with me these days. Not that I got too much, but scared to carry too much because I always tempted to throw everything I've got in the offering. Seriously. I want you to ask the Lord. Say, God, we're going to have a great offering. How many would like to take a great offering this morning? Give me a wave. Six. A medium. Let's take a great offering this morning. Ask God. Holy Spirit, guide our giving this morning. Lord, we bless you. Guide us now as we give in Jesus' name. Amen.
For further information about this dynamic ministry, contact World Harvest Miracle Crusades, first floor, 420 Main North Road, Blairapple, South Australia, 50084. or telephone 08 8349 7900 or fax 08 8349